I'd like to ask you to turn to Jude, right before Revelation. Jude, we'll start reading at verse 8 this morning and read through verse 23. The focus will be 14 through 16. Jude, beginning at verse 8, please stand for the reading of God's word. Yet, in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand. They are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them! For they walked in the way of Cain, and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are blemishes on your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear, looking after themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars, for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouth boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions.' It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." You may be seated. So I'm sure that we can think of other examples besides what the kids shared of foolish things that people do that result in their own destruction. And that's one of the things that Jude has been bringing across to us, is the error of these apostates that is going to result in their own destruction, their own eternal destruction and condemnation by God. And so I want to look at two things with you, two main things in this passage: who are those under God's condemnation, and then secondly, the completeness of God's condemnation. In verse 4, he referred to certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people. Verse 8, yet in like manner, these people also, verse 10, these people blaspheme what they don't understand. Verse 12, these are blemishes, and so forth with the other five word pictures of what they are like and what the fruit of their teaching is like. And then verse 14 is about these that Enoch prophesied. Verse 16, these are grumblers. and so forth. And verse 19, it is these who cause divisions. So this it's a group of people who had crept into the churches of the readers to whom Jude is writing. They were among them, but they didn't necessarily recognize them. And that's what he's doing in this letter, is helping them to better recognize who they are and what they're like. They were under the same condemnation as those various examples that he mentions, like Cain and Balaam and Korah, the example of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's saying, you know, that's how serious these men's sin was. They were apostates. I had it helpfully asked of me last time, what is apostasy? What does that mean? I should have defined that. I appreciate y'all when you bring questions, then I can, you know, better explain things, hopefully. But apostasy, the English word, comes from the Greek word apostasia. And it literally means falling away. Someone who apostate, therefore, is someone who has fallen away. Fallen away from what? They've fallen away from the truth. They've fallen away from Jesus in sort of an absolute sense. They've fallen away from the truth and or the righteousness of the Christian faith. So they can fall away from the doctrine, the key doctrines of the Christian faith. They can fall away from key holiness practices of the Christian life. So they are rejecting the faith, either in word or in deed. Either saying, I reject Christianity, or by their deeds, they show that they are rejecting Christianity. So this is someone who once professed the Christian faith. A regular unbeliever is an apostate. An apostate is someone who once said that they were a Christian or seemed to be a Christian, appeared to be a Christian, maybe was raised in a Christian home, whatever, and then has rejected the Christian faith in some way. As one dictionary puts it, a theological dictionary, this is a revolt against or defection from the Christian faith. So, you know, think of Cain rejecting the proper sacrifice, revolting against doing that, and his sin led him to further sin. Balaam in his covetousness, he didn't really want to reject the Lord wholesale, but by his actions he did. He loved, you know, you can't love God and money. Well, he said, I'm going to love money. That was what he loved. Think of Korah. He was in open revolt against the biblically revealed religion. This word, the Greek word apostasia, is used in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, for the great falling away, the great apostasy before the coming of the Lord. It's also used in Acts 21, verse 21. Paul is accused of falling away from the teaching of Moses, falling away from what the Word of God said. And he had explained to them, no, I'm not, and here's why. Jeremiah 2, there's an Old Testament illustration. Israel forsook the Lord for idols. And verse 19 in that chapter specifically says, your apostasy will reprove you. So it's those who once professed faith in God according to the Scriptures and then have rejected it, have turned away from it. And of course, it is an alarming thing when it happens. Sinclair Ferguson writes of this. He says, I can still recall the conversation, even though it took place more than 30 years ago. A shocked friend asked, have you heard that Sarah is no longer a Christian? This friend was someone who was active in their Christian fellowship, seemed to bear much fruit, seemed to lead people to Christ and so forth, but no longer professed faith in Jesus. And so we wonder, was that person ever really converted? But they abandoned Christ. Now, in our study in Hebrews, that's one of the things that Hebrews warns us against falling away from Jesus. We consider it to be a real danger for those who are professing Christians. Will God keep those who are true Christians, who have truly been born again? Absolutely. And so maybe if someone looked carefully, they could have seen what was missing in Sarah's life. Maybe it was just an open profession of faith and yet was not a real trust in her, in him. Sarah meaning that friend of Sinclair Ferguson. Maybe there was no, as Hebrews 4 says, the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. So perhaps there was no real trust in Christ, the crucified, risen, and returning Savior. And so, sometimes that apostasy can be very evident and obvious. First John refers to that, as he says in his in chapter 2 of his letter, they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they were of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that it might be manifest that none of them were with us. In other words, they left. They left the church. I'm not talking about leaving individual churches and going to another gospel-preaching church. They left the Christian faith, and he says it's obvious they weren't really saved, they weren't really Christians because they left. So sometimes it becomes very obvious. But in Jude, it wasn't so obvious. These were folks who'd crept in, who seemed to be Christians, and yet were not. There's some way in which they had left the true faith. Apostasy can be dishonest and sneaky. Many have chronicled the actions of those with theological liberalism who they wouldn't say that they didn't believe any certain key doctrines anymore. They would say, well, yeah, I believe in the scriptures, but if you press them, you realize, well, they don't believe the scriptures are inerrant. They don't believe they're authoritative. They don't believe they're inspired by God and therefore to be submitted to. They thought they were the words of men and some good ideas, some good wisdom. Or they'd say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but they meant something different by that. And so there was a sneakiness sometimes that went along with that. Now, I spoke to you in 1 John there of a doctrinal apostasy. They had denied Jesus. Verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father also. If somebody denies that Jesus is the Son of God, then they've denied the Father also. They are an apostate. If they try to change him to be something other than the eternal Son of God, they say he was just a very good man, a very good example, or he was God-like in the way that all of us can become God-like, well, then they've denied Jesus doctrinally. They're apostate from the Christian faith. They've left the Christian faith doctrinally. People can leave the Christian faith morally as well. In later on in 1 John, those who commit sin are committing lawlessness. They are abiding not in Christ, they're abiding in sin. They're practicing sin. Those who choose to practice sin are abandoning the Christian faith in a moral sense. They may want to, some of these may still want to say, well, I'm still a Christian, but biblically they're not. According to what God's Word says and how it defines the gospel, how it defines Christian practice, they no longer are. Jude was taking aim at both of those in these people who had snuck in. In verse 4, crept in unnoticed, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality. So the first thing he mentions is their moral apostasy, that they said, hey, God's gracious to all, so I can do whatever I want. And we see that sort of apostasy going on today as well. Then secondly, they were denying our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. They were denying something about who Jesus was, that he was really Lord of their lives, that he really was the Lord God, perhaps. Jude doesn't tell us the details, but it was both doctrinal and moral apostasy. Now, I think it's worth making a distinction between sin, which is departing from obedience to God, backsliding, which is departing from obedience to God for a while, kind of sliding back and not going to church and not really reading your Bible. And, the difference between that and apostasy. Apostasy is saying, I don't believe it anymore. I ain't going to church because I just don't believe it anymore. I don't believe the doctrine. I don't believe the practice. That's what apostasy is. Whether somebody admits that openly or not, if that's the condition of their heart, that's apostasy. Whereas someone can be in a backsliding state, and that's a dangerous state to be in. That can lead to apostasy. And that's why we have lots of warnings in Scripture. Don't apostatize. Don't fall away. Don't turn your back on Jesus. Repent of your sins. Don't become numb to them. Don't continue in them. Don't practice them, because somebody practicing sin is of the devil. And if they've just given themselves over entirely to it, then they're of the devil. So it's worth, I think, making those distinctions. Now, some are very open and self-aware. That they're leaving the Christian faith. Most obvious would be somebody who says, well, I'm a Buddhist now, or I'm a Muslim now, or I'm a Hindu now. Or like Josh Harris admitted, I would be considered an apostate now. I don't believe the evangelical Christian faith anymore. Others still keep the illusion that they are Christians because they use some of the same terms. Like I said earlier, they say, yeah, I believe in the Bible. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. But when you press them on what they mean by that, it's different than the Orthodox Christian faith. For example, as one man writes, the Orthodox view of Christianity, here's some of the things it emphasizes. God as the creator, the Bible is the inerrant word of God, Christ as the eternal Son of the Father, the crucifixion of Christ is that which pays our debt to God, Christ's resurrection as a unique and historical defeat of death, the Holy Spirit as the one who makes these things known to us, and heaven and hell as real places which represent the eternal destinies of all who have ever walked this earth. Theological liberals would deny most or all of those beliefs of Orthodox Christianity. They might say, well, yeah, I believe in God, but they don't necessarily believe that he made everything. Again, they might say, yeah, I believe in the Bible. They don't think it's inerrant. They don't think Christ is the eternal Son of the Father. They abhor the idea of the crucifixion. What do you mean? God's angry with sin, and a debt has to be paid. I don't want to believe that, they might say. Some of them deny the virgin birth of Christ and so deny something about his godhood as well. They may even deny his literal bodily resurrection and say, well, it's just sort of a spiritual resurrection. The idea of Jesus lives on. So when they say, I believe in the resurrection, sometimes you need to ask them what they mean by that. So they've abandoned, they've departed from the Christian faith, even if they want to say that they are still Christian. Why do they do that? Well, sometimes the reasons liberal theologians try to do this is they want to articulate Christianity, as one man wrote, in terms of contemporary culture and thinking. In other words, they think they are saving Christianity by denying some of these doctrines. This is too hard for people of this world to accept. Let's just kind of downplay that, or let's not talk about that. They'll say, well, okay, there are errors that people might have made in how they copied down the scriptures, so nobody wants to believe in inerrancy of scripture anymore, so let's just not believe it. Well, but that's not faithful to what the Bible itself says about itself. And there are certainly explanations for why why those errors in copying took place, for example. There aren't contradictions in the Bible like they might want to say. That's kind of another message for another time. But there are different ways that they want to water things down to make them more appealing to the modern man. And so many times they don't want to talk about the supernatural. They don't want to talk about miracles of God violating, in a sense, the laws of nature. God can work above the laws of nature. He's the one that made them, right? He can do differently if he so chooses. He has the power and the authority to do so. They also talk about Christ being a moral example for humanity rather than the Savior for all who believe in him. They may speak of the Bible as a fallible human record of religious experience. Again, this is wanting to make things appealing to others. And so they may say that they are Christian and yet have turned away, have fallen away from the true Christian faith. J. Gresham Machen, who argued against many of the liberals in the early 1920s, a century ago, said of them that despite using the traditional phraseology of Christianity, modern liberalism not only is a different religion from Christianity, but belongs in a totally different class of religions. And he wrote a book called Christianity and Liberalism. Like, they're two separate religions that he was comparing, showing how, though they wanted to use some of the same words, some of the same terms, yet they were denying the truth of them and the biblical way and historical way of understanding them. So that is an example, still a prominent example today, of apostasy, of turning away from the Christian faith. An illustration of this. Suppose you wanted a Southern breakfast. What's involved in a Southern breakfast? Grits, biscuit and gravy, bacon and sausage, scrambled eggs, That sort of thing. Maybe some other things you'd add in there as well. Well, what point does it stop being a Southern breakfast if you substitute cream of wheat for grits, if you substitute rice cakes with peanut butter for biscuits, if you fry up some tofu instead of bacon and sausage, if you put in Greek yogurt instead? What point does it stop being some of you are shaking your heads like, oh, I wouldn't want to eat that anyway. Okay, it's no longer a Southern breakfast, right? Now, that's a humorous illustration. So at what point then, when they begin denying these different doctrines, did they become another religion and not really Christianity altogether, where they've abandoned the faith? But maybe the illustration would be made even worse. Imagine those eggs are infected with salmonella. The sausage has spoiled before it was cooked. It's been left out in the sun raw for, days. Imagine that with the scrambled eggs are mixed poisonous mushrooms. Okay, that's what liberalism, theological liberalism, has done to the Christian faith, has made things poisonous. And they may want to still call it a Southern breakfast, but it's poisonous. Not only is it, not your preference, but it's something bad for you. So we may disagree. Romans 14 talks about some of the areas that talks about the fact that Christians may disagree, true Christians may disagree over more minor things. But when it gets to some of these foundational doctrines that I've been talking about, someone denying them is an apostate, whether they still say that they're a Christian or not. Similarly, those who are preaching some other gospel, like being saved by your own works, and that's ultimately what liberalism teaches. That's what Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness teach. That's what all works-based false gospels teach, is you're saved by your works. Paul would say very strongly about that is another gospel, and let him be accursed. Even if it's an angel from heaven, he says in Galatians 1, let him be accursed. And that's what these apostates were doing, was they were substituting their own gospel for the true one. Even if an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach. They were saying, hey, we got these revelations from angels. That seems to be the kind of thing they were talking about. Jude calls them dreamers. Well, we saw these things in dreams. But no, if it contradicts the faith once delivered to the saints, it's heresy and it leads to apostasy if it's believed. And that's what Jude continues to warn them against. But then furthermore, if people are saying, and this is sort of related to Jude 4, talking about the turning the grace of our God into licentiousness, if people are saying that certain sinful lifestyles that the Bible condemns are okay and good for Christians to practice, they are also apostates. They have left behind the Christian faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and following, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality. There are two different terms in there, I won't explain that. Nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were justified, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So those who want to say, hey, my lifestyle, God's not going to condemn. I can go ahead and live with somebody outside of marriage and God's not going to condemn it. I'm still a Christian. Well, no, not according to God's word, you're not. Or somebody could say, well, I can go worship with my friend at the local mosque and also worship, in a church. Well, no, you can't. No, you can't. You're worshiping an idol. You're becoming an idolater at that point. If somebody says, well, hey, I'm a professional gambler, and I'm good at cheating people at cards. Well, they're a thief as well as covetous and greedy, right? So they can't say they're a Christian professional gambler, all right? The place where, the point of the spear, so to speak, today at biblical Christianity is those who want to say, well, I'm a gay Christian. I can practice homosexuality and it's okay. God accepts me. God has given me that as a good thing. That's not what the Bible teaches. It doesn't teach that about any of these sins that are lifestyles. It says that someone who says they are this and practices this is not saved, is not going to heaven, therefore is not a true Christian. They've turned away from the Christian faith morally. Their moral desires, their immoral desires rather, have led them away from biblical Christianity. And so they shouldn't even identify that way. And I'll talk more about that tonight, where those who say, well, I'm not practicing these sins, but I still want to call myself a Christian homosexual or a homosexual Christian. You might as well call yourself one of these other sins. What does Paul say about that? Such were some of you. Such were some of you. That's not our identity anymore. It's one thing to say, well, here's some things I struggle with. Here's some sins I'm tempted with. But to identify yourself with this and think that that's a good thing is wrong. It's sinful. If it's not apostasy, it's in danger of it. If somebody's practicing those sins, it is apostasy. It is a falling away from the true Christian faith morally. Well, I spent more time explaining my first point than I was expecting I would need to, and I think that's valuable. But I'm going to have trouble getting through most of my second point. So I think it'd be better to leave most of that for next time. Other than to say this, with all of the expressions of concern and warning and so forth that Jude has been giving to them, he's not leaving them without hope. He's telling them God is going to come again to judge. Behold, the Lord comes. The Lord will surely indeed come. We don't need to be afraid that he's going to allow this just to continue to go on the way that it is. As one man wrote, the darkness of apostasy is cause for grief for any true believer. That's cause for great sorrow and concern. Just as Paul in his letters, you know, said, I fear for you. I'm worried about you. I long for you that I might, you know, minister to you and prevent you from falling away from the truth. It's cause for grief, but it's not cause for despair. Because Jude reminds us the Lord is coming again. He is coming soon. Therefore, we pray with John, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we also pray, Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to be faithful and help me to help others to be faithful to you until Jesus returns. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you for the warnings that you give us in it. We thank you for the different passages that show us what turning away from the Christian faith is, that we might not do that. We might be warned against it. That we might not even follow down that path at all, even a little bit. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling, for those who are weak, for those who may be doubting, as Jude mentioned later in his letter. I pray that you would keep them from stumbling. You present them blameless before your presence as well. You'd help us to build each other up in that most precious faith that we have, the faith once delivered to the saints. Please strengthen us by your Holy Spirit, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn for our closing hymn, number 754.